Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, that there is no limit to you, no limit to your ability, no limit to your capacity, no limit to what you can do. Thank you that there is no time that you are hopeless. There is no time that you are overwhelmed. There is not a circumstance that shocks you, that makes you feel incapable. You are God. Help us to understand that. Help us, oh God, to align at all times to the indisputable truth that you are God and nothing is impossible to you. You've called us to that same platform. You say to us, if you just believe in me, nothing shall be impossible to you. Lord, we come to this platform where we ride in the realm where all things are possible because we believe. And we believe because you've given us the capacity to believe. For we can do nothing without you. Oh, gracious Father, hallowed be thy name. Your kingdom, let it come. Let it be present now in our midst as it is in heaven. Thank you, Lord, that you give to us this day our daily bread. You've forgiven us every trespass, and you lead us not into any temptations, but you deliver us from all evil. For truly thine, O God, is the kingdom. Thine is the power. Thine is all the glory, all the honor, all the adoration. Have your way, O Father, in us and with us, this day and at all times, in every season. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord. There are times when we don't know what to do, but we can be confident that God knows what to do. We may be limited, but God isn't. We may be incapable, but God is not. He forever reigns supreme over the affairs of man. The one thing that I've come to notice about God, you may be seated. Is that God truly is patient. And when we think all is lost and the milk is spilled, the eggs are scrambled, and there's no way to fix this mess, and our hands are up in disgust because wicked men are getting away with their wicked ways. And we have fasted, and we have prayed, and we have cried, and everything else. And it didn't go the way we wanted things to go. But God is totally unperturbed. You see? And it's like Man is getting away with it. And just that's the end of it. Just like that. It's the end of it. So I've learned, when I don't know what's going on, to rest in the fact that God knows what is going on. He has 100% full awareness of the picture, the full picture. He sees the inside, the outside, the ups, the downs, the sides, everything. I may be limited. In fact, the Word of God says we even prophesy in part. So nobody knows everything. I don't care how sharp you are. You still know in part. You don't know everything. But God knows everything. Amen? And it's also true. I don't know why the Lord is leading me this way tonight. But while we know in part, we don't necessarily know all the same part. But when we congregate ourselves together, and you bring your part and I bring my part, we get to know the full picture. I don't think there's ever a time that God has not revealed the full picture. But it's just not revealed to everyone. No one person has all of it. So that we all are humble before Him and before each other. I don't know everything. And you don't know everything. So then it behooves us to listen to each other. We're in Proverbs 2. And I believe we got as far as verse 5 or 6 the last time. 6? 1 to 5. Just to do a quick recap, I'm not going to go into it because we went fairly deeply into those first few verses. He says, my son, if thou wilt receive my words, if you will receive it, which means you have a choice to receive it or not receive it. I remember two or three studies back in chapter 1, there was one of those studies where the Word of God was striking so hard, and I said, oh, as I was going through it, I just knew it. Some people are not going to show back up. Even when we think we want to hear the truth, when the truth shows up, we start stepping back. But you stepping back from hearing the Word of God, when God, you know, the mistake people make is that you're responsible. Okay, it's like this. You are attending the university or high school or whatever, and you're taking a particular class. The teacher is going to set the exams based on the fact that you are supposed to be in that class. Not on the basis of whether you attended or did not attend. You're expected. There are certain things that God expects anybody who's attending Glory and Peace Church to know. And if you come to the service, to the studies, to the prayer meeting, to whatever, or you don't come, you're still expected to know that. Because that's where you're supposed to be. And guess what? The devil also takes that into view. You're attending that church? I don't know what you know or don't know, but I'm going to come after you based on what I know that you should know. So when people don't attend services, don't attend Bible studies, don't attend prayer meetings, and you think, I'm at home and I'm doing my own thing and whatever else, they're not doing themselves any service. Because God expects you to know certain things. Whether you know it or not, you expect to know it. So the word of God says, my son, if thou wilt receive my words, if you will receive it, you have a choice. And hide my commandments with thee. In other words, keep them. Hold on to it. And you do so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom. You're always listening for wisdom. Paying attention to wisdom. And applying thine heart to understand. You apply your heart to understand them. You want to understand how it works. You don't just want the details. How does it work? You know, children, many times, we think they're trying to break that toy. They're trying to break something. But really, what they are trying to find out is, how does this thing work? Now, there are some who have a malicious mean streak that they just want to destroy things for destruction's sake. But you find little kids, you know, trying to tear things apart, trying to figure out. They're seeking understanding. Trying to understand. Why does this thing happen like this? That's why they ask those three-letter word. Why? And you give the answer and say, well, why? They're trying to understand. And God wants you and I to understand. And many times I come before the Father and ask, why? Why is this like this? Why is that this? And in the process of asking those why questions, I get to find out the answers. The Bible tells us about Jesus in the temple. Remember? He's supposedly lost. How Joseph and Mary can lose God, I don't know, but they lost him somehow. And he is with the leaders. He's there in the temple. And what is he doing? He's asking questions. And the response of the leaders is a determination on, how is this guy this wise? How is this kid this wise? He's listening to them. He's asking questions. And the Bible says, and all that heard him were astonished at his what? Understanding and answers. Wow. Let's look at verse 46 again. And it came to pass that after 3 days they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the what? Doctors. Both hearing them and asking them questions. He's hearing them and he's asking questions. Now, This is the Lord. He's asking questions. Yeah. He's listening to doctors, to the rabbis. Yeah. Look where he went to position himself. With the doctors. What do? Many times we position ourselves with people that we know more than. And it gives us a key here. You want to really make it? Find people who know more than you do. Ask questions. Because your questions reveal the depth of your understanding, not your ignorance. The kind of questions you ask many times reveal the depth of your understanding. Because you have to understand certain things to ask certain questions. If you don't have enough understanding, how are you going to ask a question? You don't have the capacity to. So, one of our quests is to grow in the ability to ask questions. Because our growth in that ability to ask questions reveal our growth in knowledge, wisdom, and understanding. Understand that the book of Proverbs is not only addressing our spiritual growth, it's addressing our soul's growth. It's addressing our physical growth, our mental growth, our intellectual growth. These are principles of life. And already we've talked about certain things that will determine whether you make it as a success in life. Because if you're just running around people that you are smarter than, you have peaked. People that you know more than, you've peaked. You've got to seek people that know more than you do. Find out what it is that they know. And grow in that knowledge. Information is never a waste. So that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and applying thine heart to understanding. Yea, if thou criest after knowledge, if you cry after knowledge, Proverbs 2:3, and liftest up thy voice for understanding. How do you lift up your voice for understanding? It is in the asking of the questions. Excuse me, sir. Excuse me, ma'am. what do you mean by that? Does this mean that this, if this is true, that this also might be true? Will I be right to think this way? Do you know that we all started out with 2 + 2 = 4? All of us started that way. And how is it that your teacher taught you what he taught you, and then one day you engineer something that he never thought about? There's something called the Pythagoras theory. How does that relate? Einstein did his thing. But some way, somehow, the principles that they learned and they taught by understanding applied has gotten us to the moon, gotten us to Mars, and taken us out there into outer space. We're the same principles, but principles understood and applied. You know what the problem of the church has been? While the world is busy applying the truth that they know, as believers, we've allowed ourselves to peak. Oh, we spoke in tongues. We had goosebumps. Hallelujah, praise God. God moved. Yes, he moved. But can he move better? We are still dying, folks. The Bible tells us that death came because of sin. Is that not true? Okay. The first man lived almost up to 1,000 years. Actually, nobody has lived out a full day. The day that you sin, you're going to die, right? And Methuselah was the oldest, right? Okay. So he died. And it all happened because of sin. We agree with that, right? Jesus, our Lord, came, paid the price of sin. Shouldn't that also mean that we should not die? But did he not also say, I am the resurrection and the life? If you believe in me, you shall not die? Did he not say that? Okay, so why do we still plan on dying? Because we've not applied the truth of God's word. Because when I'm talking about we're not supposed to die, somebody's going to go crazy about that. So what do you mean by that? Well, what I mean by that is that, hey, sin brought about death. Jesus paid the price of sin and paid the price, took on my death. So why should I die? I already died with him. And I rose again with him. He's no longer dying, so why should I be dying? That only makes sense, but we allow our natural minds to talk us out of the truth of God's word. And so we've not progressed. Really haven't progressed. Philip goes and baptizes the guy, the Ethiopian eunuch, right? Finished baptizing him, takes one step, and he's in a different town. Azotus. Oh yeah, it's in the Bible, praise the Lord, hallelujah. But is that not what God wants to do with us? Take one step and go wherever you want to go? You think the Lord Jesus Christ wants to go to Lagos, Nigeria? And he says, okay, let me find out WestJet. Let me get the ticket first class. WestJet. Is that what he does? I'm going to just buy a ticket for the United Airlines, Air Canada, Lufthansa. I don't think so. Because the capacity and the ability to move from point A to point B is already there. At the speed of light. Yeah? The speed of light. I can be transported from one realm to the other. Pastor, let's be real. That's our problem. We're trying to be real, too real. Too real for our good. You know the people that don't think in those terms and they do it? They're occultists. And they are operating in the spirit of darkness. They can travel. They call it astral travel. And we're still stuck because we're not crying out for knowledge and lifting up our voice for understanding. God, I need understanding. I need understanding. The prophet could outrun Ahab's chariot. Huh? Wow. And he even gave him a head start. Give him a head start. Tell him to go, you know, before the rain hits. Tell him to go, 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 go. And here he comes. Zip, zip. Goes past the guy. That's Old Testament. Come on. Limits. Says, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures. Then shall thou understand the fear of the Lord, one, and find the knowledge of God, and find the knowledge of God, and find the knowledge of God, and find the knowledge of God. Find what God knows. You understand the fear of the Lord, and find what God knows. The knowledge of God. It's not the knowledge of who God is, but the knowledge of what God knows. That's an amazing truth. Because that's the secret of our Lord Jesus Christ. He says, what I see the Father doing, that's what I do. I know what the Father is doing, then I do that. And it's the Father who doeth the works. I need to have a perspective, an inner circle discussion. I know what the plan is. My Father, you know, will reveal himself. I and the Father will reveal ourselves to you. For the Lord giveth wisdom. The Lord giveth wisdom. Says, if you lack wisdom, says, ask, and God will give it to you liberally and not upbraid you, not chastise you that you're asking for wisdom. Says, he'll give it to you liberally. Says, the Lord giveth wisdom. Out of his mouth, out of the mouth of God, cometh knowledge and understanding. Out of the mouth of God, knowledge and understanding comes out. Well, look at this. The Word of God is addressing that statement, knowledge and understanding, like a package that has been delivered. So God speaks, you get knowledge. It's an impartation. God speaks, you get understanding. It's an impartation. You know things that you should not know. You understand things that you should not understand. Years ago, there used to be a television show called MacGyver. MacGyver used to be in tight spots, and he will use things that were around him to create a way of escape, to solve a problem. They have the new MacGyver now, and it's quite interesting, but I still remember the old one because that was intriguing. You know, how this guy will use things to do incredible stuff. Well, the new MacGyver show is like that. But the whole situation of MacGyver is founded not just on knowledge, but understanding. Knowledge tells you this is bleach, this is salt, this is a belt, this is whatever, cotton, aluminum foil. Understanding tells you I can mix this stuff and create something else. Application. And that application will get him to get out of tight situations. Now, the new MacGyver will tell you, well, this, and you do this, and then it just bypasses, you know, I'm not going to waste my time. I just know, okay, you did something. But the reality is, understanding is what got him out of that mess and brought about deliverance for people. Understanding. Understanding. When I was having the situation with trying to get into Pakistan, and for 2 months, almost 2.5 months, no sign that anything will change. The Lord quickened me, says, have understanding. Knock, and it shall be open to you. I've not been knocking. I've been doing a lot of other things, but not knocking. So I said, Pakistan, open! That understanding brought me to that place where whatever needed to line itself up, to crack it wide open, cracked it open. Amen? But that, it was not just getting the visa. Pakistan open meant now that their churches already planted, saying, we want to come under your ministry. It's open. That's the difference. When now that I understand, I can apply that understanding to whatever else. Say, open, you got open to me. Open, Winnipeg, open. Finance is open. Finance is open. Bang! Somebody goes and deposits $1 million into your account. Open. Or you don't understand if you say to this mountain, be thou removed and be cast into the sea, but do not doubt in your heart, but believe that those things which you say shall come to pass. You don't see the implication of that with open, ask, seek, knock. Then you slow down your process. But the deeper you get in your understanding, the better and much more effective things line up. Van, come to me now. Some of you may have been here. I was preaching. I said, Van, come to me now. The next day, somebody came and handed the keys. They were not even inside this church. They didn't know what I did. The only problem was I didn't say, new van. So a van showed up. Hallelujah. But understanding will take the stress off. The Because now you know that your faith is not dependent on man. God can cause these stones to rise up and do what needs to be done. So an unbeliever can come and say, I can't sleep. Here. Because some person that thought that he could control you with their money decided they were not going to give it. But they didn't know that you already know to say, open. And God says, it's going to open here. You hit here, it's going to crack over there. And it's going to come to you. I don't know how God is going to answer the prayer or my declaration. I just know I'm not meant to be in a state of defeat. That's what I know. That's not what God planned for me. That's not God's desire for me. God did not plan for me to struggle. And so, God, I declare in Jesus' name, I'm living a struggle-free life. Now, yeah. He said, I'll give you life and that more abundantly. So, it doesn't matter whether 20 covens gather together in agreement. What does that have to do with anything? The word of God says, no weapons fashioned against me will prosper. They should gather, but not by me. So the word of God says, the Lord giveth wisdom. I receive, somebody say, I receive the package of knowledge and understanding. Let it be downloaded into my life now. I am knowledgeable, I am wise, and I have understanding. Hallelujah. He laid up sound wisdom for the righteous. Am I the righteous? Did God give me the gift of righteousness? Well, then the word of God says he laid up sound wisdom. So there's got to be some wisdom that's not sound. James tells us that certain kinds of wisdom are earthly, carnal. They're not heavenly. So I want sound wisdom, which is heavenly wisdom. The wisdom of God. He laid up sound wisdom for the righteous. It is laid up. Well, if it is laid up, it means it has been set in place. But as long as you don't engage it, it will stay laid up. Thank God it is laid up. That means it's provided for, but I need to engage it. Now, how do I engage it? The Word of God says, if you lean towards wisdom. Yeah? Verse 4. Let's look at verse 4 again. It says, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures. There's got to be a heart engagement. You desire it. God, I want to be wise. I want to operate in deep understanding of the things of the Spirit. And the things of the Spirit supersede the natural things. I need wisdom to address the issues that I need to address. Obviously, there are natural ways to acquire wisdom. There's wisdom to make money. But the thing about the wisdom of this world is that it brings you to a place of greed. It brings you to a place where it is limited. It won't function there. But the wisdom that is from above, that takes 5 loaves and 2 fishes and feeds the multitude and still have extra. But the natural wisdom says, well, you can only do so much with what you've got. So let us ration it, you know, this way and that way and this way and that way. Let's invest it this way and that way and this way and that way. And let's do some compounding here and so on and so forth. Let's put this in this egg basket and that egg basket. And all of that is good. All of that produces, you know, whatever it is that you want to produce. But the fact is that there is a wisdom that is from above that supersedes all of that. So it's drought and famine. And here's Isaac sowing in the same land and getting a hundredfold return. Yeah? That was not happening for the rest of the people. It was happening for him. And he became great and very great. That people were now scared of him and trying to persecute him and moving him. But they take whatever it is that he had and seize it, and he goes to another place and reproduces it. And they move him from there and he reproduces it, and then come and beg him, say, wait a minute. We can't stop you. Everything that we do, you're reproducing it again and again and again. No, there's something else about this stuff. We want to be in covenant with you. They understood the power of covenant. This guy's in covenant with somebody. Who are you in covenant with? Yahweh, Jehovah. He's my Adonai. Not Baal, no. Jehovah, the self-existent God. He's the one that's doing this for you, yeah? Where is he? Where is his image? No image. You look at me, you see him. I'm created in his image and in his likeness. You. Yeah. Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. That's coming to an understanding of being created in the image and the likeness of God. And so I can come with understanding and say, God, I'm broke. This is not your image and likeness. So I want to reflect your image and likeness, so brokenness must go. Can't be broke and reflect the image and likeness of God. I don't think so. This is blaspheming your name. It's bringing shame to your name. And I cannot stand for shaming your name, so you got to bless me. Praise the Lord. So, it is on the foundation of those understandings that we pray the prayer of faith. You cannot pray the prayer of faith without having some level of understanding. That's why Jesus is amazed. He says, where did you get that from? I've not seen this kind of faith even amongst my own children. This person is making application. This centurion says, I'm a man under authority. I understand authority. And because I'm under authority, I can say to this person, go do this, go do that, come here, go there. He says, I know you're the same. You're just like me. So just, you don't have to come to my house. Just say, speak the word only. And my servant is going to be taken care of. Wow. Understanding. 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 That's what we need. He laid up sound wisdom for the righteous. So let's collect it. Let's take it. It's laid up for us. He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. He's a buckler. He's a shield. He's a protector to them that walk uprightly. He keepeth the paths of judgment and preserveth the way of his saints. He preserves the way of his saints and keeps the paths of judgment. I called a friend of mine today in Israel, sent me some stuff, and it not giving me an invoice for it. I said, friend, I have to have the bill. I have to pay this thing, whatever it is. He sent me more than I wanted, so we have to negotiate. But somehow, I feel deep within me, I need to pay this bill one way or the other, because this thing can become a blockage, a big block wall in my path. So I got to deal with this and move it out of the way. We have to come into some kind of agreement and deal with this, move it out of the way. Sometimes certain things that we allow block our path. You don't need the devil. If you just understand, the certain things will block you. For Isaac, it was my wife is my sister. And so he stayed there in Gerar for a long time. And was experiencing the same things like the people of Gerar. Until he was exposed. His situation was exposed. Then the Bible says, then he sowed. You know, the average preacher will start with, then Isaac sowed. And he reaped in the same year 100-fold and grew great, blah, 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 blah. Excuse me. The then was preceded by something else. The then is not going to work until you address the something else. That big elephant in the room. Doesn't matter how beautiful the glassware and everything that you've put inside the room is. As long as you have that big elephant in the room, no matter how well trained that elephant is, it's going to make a turn at some point, and then and everything will fall apart. Lord, help me not to have anything that will stop my then. Help me to deal with the things I need to deal with. Well, this is what I like about understanding. I shared with you from Matthew 15 and 13, Sunday morning. We talked about whatever my Heavenly Father has not planted shall be rooted up. Understanding brings me to this awareness, that only what my Heavenly Father has planted qualifies to stay. So if I planted it, it can be rooted out. If any man planted it, it can be rooted out. If Satan and his demonic forces planted it, it can be rooted out. So I can come to the Lord and say, God, whatever it is that I have planted or anybody has planted, any satanic agenda has brought into my life, I'm saying, Lord, root it out of my life. You are my heavenly Father. Hallowed be thy name. Let your kingdom come, and let your will and your will alone be done here in the earth. And starting with me, as it is in heaven, root it out. Root it out. Get rid of it. There is always a place in God, by the understanding of the Word of God, that gives me a way out. I need to find out by understanding what God is saying and what God is showing, and through that, break forth. Amen? He is my buckler, a buckler to them that walk uprightly. He keepeth the paths of judgment and preserveth the way of his saints. Then shall thou understand righteousness and judgment and equity, yea, every good path. Then. What then? Then when? Then this. Then, verse 5. Then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. Then what? If thou seekest, that's the before the dead. If thou seekest her wisdom as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. He laid up wisdom, sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. He keepeth the paths of judgment and preserveth the way of his saints. Then shalt thou understand. Then what? When you seek. Goes back to that desire to seek the heart of God, like you seek for silver and for hidden treasures. You don't see it, but you're seeking it. You're seeking it because you want it. That's why you're seeking it. You understand that I don't have it. I don't have the wisdom that I need. I seek it. You find it. Then shalt thou understand righteousness and judgment and equity, yea, every good path. Stop there for today. I'll pick it up from verse 9 because that's a very important verse. Then shalt thou understand righteousness. Standing before God without blame, you're going to understand judgment, the ability to be discerning. You're going to understand equity, fairness. Yea, every good path, you'll understand it. Because he leads you in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. For his name's sake. For his name's sake. Oh, how powerful is that? For his name's sake. Let's look at it, Psalm 23. And we'll wrap up with that. For his name's sake. Psalm 23. There says, the Lord is my what? Shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He maketh me to what? Lie down in green pastures. Not in dry places. In green pastures. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He what? Restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. God is more interested in me walking in righteousness, because me not walking in righteousness blasphemes his name, drags his name through the mud. So I've been praying that God should deliver me from this drug addiction. Shut up already. God is more interested in you not being a drug addict. Why don't you just come out clean and say, I love these drugs. I'm hooked on it and I like it, but it's not good for me. God, take me out of this, not just because of me, but because I am shaming your name. And see how quickly you get out of that mess. But sometimes we're not true to ourselves. We lie to ourselves. Do you have a drug problem? You have a drug problem. Acknowledge it. You have a problem with pornography? Acknowledge it. I like looking at funny pictures. And I need help because this is shaming your name. Get me out of this mess. I have images in my mind. Matthew, root it out. God, you didn't plant these images in my mind. Root it out. Because I can't sleep without seeing all this funny stuff in my mind. I'm hooked. Root it out. The word of God, it's there. You cry to God and say, this is what I want. For your name's sake, God, I am shaming your name. I need to stop that. So God, help me now. God will be there faster than you can say amen. Well, too many times we are pretentious. We think we're trying to do, I don't know what we're trying to do, but there's help available. God can set us free because his words are true. He's faithful. He cannot lie. And if God be for us, who can be against us? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the guidance of your Holy Spirit. And thank you, Lord, O God, that you are a helper. And Lord, O God, that you're leading us in the paths of righteousness for your name's sake. For your name's sake. For your name's sake, Lord, O God, heal our marriages. For your name's sake, O God, deliver us from evil. For your name's sake, O God, meet our every need according to your riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Lord, O God, for your name's sake, O God, set us free, O God, from every form of indebtedness. For your name's sake, O God, heal us from every sickness and from every disease. For Lord, O God, when we are not walking in divine health, the people of the world can boldly say, where is your God? May men never say, where is your God? Because, Lord, O God, you are not hidden. Lord, O God, you are not weak. You are more than enough. And you are present with us. The word says, you are at hand. The word says, there is a place besides me. And we stand, O God, beside you. And when man wants to say, where is thy God? We say, here he is. He is present with me. He is mighty in me. He is awesome in me. He is great in me. And Lord, O God, let the words and the thoughts of men fail as your glory is manifested in us and through us. Thank you, Lord. You are our God. You are a miracle-working God. You are a way maker. Thank you, Lord. We give you praise, O God, that you are all things to us, and there is not a need that you have not met already. We come, O God, to this place, O God, that wisdom has been laid. Father, we take in your wisdom, and we exercise it by the authority of your name, the authority of your word, the authority of your will. In Jesus' mighty name, we declare it so done. Amen and amen. Praise God. Amen. Well, bless you. At this time, let us honor God with our giving. And while you're doing that, I want to remind you that Friday is our prayer meeting, and the Lord will be with us as we pray together, seeking His face. He's a God who answers prayers. I had further updates from Pakistan on Sunday, shared with us about, I think the amount of salvations was 21,275, something like that. I got notification today that it was actually 27,000 plus. Amen. People were getting saved all the way in Afghanistan, Iraq, Iran, because through television, the crusade was being broadcasted. And 6,800 and something, I believe it was, of testimonies of all kinds, you know. And so that was a great success. And of course, you know, they said, they had already started before I left the country, but they started calling me today. You got to come back in September, or latest November. And I said, okay. The Lord, you know, by His leading. And so we're going to call you tomorrow. We want to set a date right now. Go talk to Mama. Hallelujah. Yeah, so it's been good, and we're thankful for the great results, and that's the doing of the Lord. I thank God for those here that gave towards it. Well, I believe that we'll do better next time. Those that give from here gave what they could give. But I pray that next time that it will be a very steady, common thing with everyone, and that we get it done effectively. I won't tell you where I got the funds from, but thank God we did it. Amen. God knew where it should come from. And so it was done. My prayer is that as a congregation, that we'll participate much more strongly. Because most of whatever it is I needed came from outside. But I'm believing that God will help us all. And, so thank you for those in-house that gave so fervently. The givers give. But we need all rise together in faith. For the assignments God has for us, and it will be well. Amen. Praise the Lord. I believe it was all worth it. All worth it. All worth it. Yeah. To think that you're in Pakistan and people are getting saved in Afghanistan. and I didn't know that. I didn't know that. But when they will ask me, people ask me, where are you coming from? I want to say Afghanistan. I said, no, it was not Afghanistan, Pakistan. And somebody asked me again, and now I know why. Because the word went into Afghanistan, went right there. Miracles happened. Somebody was healed from cancer in Afghanistan. It's incredible. One of the testimonies I got was somebody, breast cancer, visible, gone. It's gone. Only God could have done that. This Sunday, we'll get to see some part of that meeting. And you'll see what I was talking to you about, the wind of God. I saw a few clips of it when Deacon Byron the other day. So my clothes just... It was fierce. The wind of God's presence. Amazing, amazing. And that was not anything natural. It was totally unnatural. Even though it was a natural thing, but it was unnatural at the timing. And when it wrapped up, it was just God saying, I'm here. And it became part of my message. Everything was just perfect. You see it on Sunday. You see it on Sunday. So once again, thank you, thank you, thank you. Those of you online, thank you. Let's keep on supporting the work of the ministry. There's work to be done. And God's name will be exalted. Amen. Praise God. Well, good night. Enjoy the goodness of the Lord. And Friday is the next meeting. And of course, then Sunday. All right. Blessings.